This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, June 27th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a report on what happens to electronic waste, old computers, TVs, and the like. A lot of them wind up in China. We'll have the story. We'll also get a forecast from AM 580's Mike Sola. First, a look at today's news. The governor and legislative leaders say they made a deal to keep the state of Illinois operating through the next month, but as Sean Crawford reports, there's still no movement on a budget for the full year.
The one-month spending plan will ensure the state can pay its obligations through July. The House and Senate are expected to vote this week and send the temporary measure to the governor. While financial details are unclear, those involved in negotiations say it will basically continue the current fiscal year's budget for another month. Members of the AFSCME union will get raises in accordance with their contracts. The new fiscal year is set to begin Sunday, and without at least a one-month budget, state government could face a potential shutdown. House Republican leader Tom Cross says with this agreement, it appears that won't be the case.
Seems to be consensus on it to keep government running, which is important. No one wants there to be a shutdown, certainly not us, so I think this was a productive day.
But it also removes an approaching deadline that might have spurred action on a larger compromise. With spending authority through the next month, it's less likely a deal can be reached anytime soon on a comprehensive spending plan. House Speaker Mike Madigan sounded ominous when asked how long the budget talks could drag on.
I think we'll be here for a long time.
The latest schedule has lawmakers passing the temporary one-month budget this week, then returning to Springfield the second week of July. I'm Sean Crawford.
The Champaign City Council has rejected proposals that would have regulated so-called happy hour drink promotions at bars. At issue were promotions designed to sell alcohol in larger servings or with less staff supervision. But as AM 580's Jim Meadows reports, council members worried that the new regulations just wouldn't work.
Wine by the bottle, personal pitchers, shot servers strolling through bars with trays of pre-mixed drinks for quick sale. Sergeant Scott Friedline of the Champaign Police Alcohol Enforcement Unit says what these promotional gimmicks have in common is that they get more alcohol to the bar patron with less opportunities for the server to check up on the patron's condition.
Without having that routine contact, that individual may become impaired, and now we lose that opportunity to address an issue. The subject ends up leaving, creating a risk for the public through DUI and through other types of activities because of their impairment.
At last night's City Council study session, Friedline outlined a package of regulations to limit the promotions, including bans on personal pitchers, strolling shot servers, and wine and hard liquor sales by the bottle to single customers. But city council members shut down the proposals in a series of votes. Some council members said the rules were too complicated, unfair to responsible bars and bar patrons, and just wouldn't be effective. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Austin Cloyd, the former Champaign resident who died in the Virginia Tech shootings, has been nominated for an honorary street designation. The city council has given its preliminary approval for designating a stretch of State Street west of downtown as honorary Austin Cloyd Way. The 19-year-old Cloyd was among 32 victims of a mentally ill gunman in the Virginia Tech shootings 2 months ago. Before moving with her family to Virginia, she attended Centennial High School in Champaign and was active in charitable and public service work through her church. If the city council gives final approval next month, Austin Cloyd would become the fourth person so far this year to be featured on honorary street signs. Bond has been set at $3 million for a Champaign man who was arrested Sunday after a standoff and shootout with police. It had been preceded by a shooting incident in Urbana and the hijacking of a car on the U of I campus. Toriano Johnson is charged with 5 counts of attempted murder, 3 of those charges on a police officer, as well as aggravated discharge of a firearm and armed violence. In court yesterday, Johnson tried to plead guilty but was halted, and an attorney was assigned to him. July 9th is the assigned trial date for John White, the former Urbana grade school teacher charged with molesting several students. White's charged in Champaign County for incidents at Thomas Paine Elementary School. He also faces similar charges in McLean County for incidents during an earlier teaching job. Those in the 2 central Illinois cities vying for the future Gen power plant are getting a final opportunity for public input this week. Officials from the Department of Energy are taking questions on its draft environmental impact statements for both Mattoon and Tuscola. Economic officials in the town say they don't believe any major concerns will surface. Meanwhile, a study from the governor's office says FutureGen would reap economic benefits of more than $1 billion across the state. Brian Moody is the executive director of Tuscola Economic Development. He says the coal-burning facility will not only create jobs, but generate the interest of nearby universities and industry officials.
I think there are a lot of companies this provides opportunities for in Illinois, as far as the research goes. Obviously, the coal industry and just employment as a whole. But really a lot of impact, we believe, will happen through what would probably be called tourism, industrial tourism, of researchers and different interested individuals will come in to look at the plant.
Tuscola's public input meeting is tomorrow night at 7 at the community meeting building. Mattoon's was yesterday. In late October, the FutureGen Alliance will select a site between those two cities and two in Texas. Public comment sessions this week mark a milestone toward a new cable TV contract for Champaign and Urbana. But the City of Champaign's information technology director says those talks will likely happen with a new company across the table. And there's an outside chance they may not happen at all. Jeff Hamilton says Insight Communications is trading some franchises with Comcast, so the bigger company may hold the franchise by the end of the year. He says negotiations will begin next spring.
What we're doing right now is we're gathering the needs assessment process, and then what we'll do is we'll have a large report, and we will use that as our foundation to build our case and to negotiate from with whichever cable operator happens to be in control at the time.
Hamilton says another factor may be new state legislation that lets AT&T into the broadband TV market in Illinois. He says if the governor signs the bill, broadband and cable companies would be able to sign statewide contracts instead of working with individual local governments. The city's opened the process up to public comment tonight at Champaign's Municipal Building and tomorrow night at City Hall in Urbana. For the latest newscast online, go to WILL.UIUC.EDU/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. At your home, chances are your TV, your computer, and other electronic gear were made overseas. That's because it's cheaper to make them there, and it's cheaper to get rid of old electronics overseas. Someday, your old cell phone or CD player might end up right back where it started, in China. University of Illinois journalism student Ted Lan visited a Chinese city where electronic waste or e-waste is shipped by the thousands of tons. And as he tells us in his story for the Environment Report, pollution from that waste is threatening the health of people who live there.
The city of Taizhou is in eastern China. It's an industrial port city. A lot of the people who travel here are here on business. Ships loaded with new products are often headed for the United States. But it's not just what leaves this city that makes business boom, it's also what's coming in.
I know it's polluted here, but it's not a big deal. The most important thing is my children. That's the reason why I found work here.
Liu Qingzhen works at this Taizhou scrap plant. It's the final stop for some of the nearly 4,000 tons of scrap and e-waste that enters the port each day. Liu is one of hundreds of workers who squat under an outdoor pavilion picking apart old circuit boards and wires. She works 9 hours a day, 7 days a week, earning about $130 a month. The work is dangerous. She and the other workers are exposed to harmful chemicals from e-waste such as lead and mercury. The 23-year-old moved here for this job because she needed to support her two kids.
I used to work in a shoe factory, but then I had a baby, and it's not convenient to have a baby there, so I moved here even though the pay is the same. I come from the countryside. You can't earn money on a farm.
The plant where she works is considered safer than scrapping these materials in the countryside, where families work in their front yards and in their homes. They melt circuit boards and burn wires to extract bits of valuable copper and gold. Environmental organizations have documented evidence that what's left over after the valuable metals are retrieved is dumped into local rivers and streams.
I noticed that when we arrived, they shut down the other door of that other shop. Mm-hmm.
And they are doing the same kind of e-waste, but they're afraid of being discovered by others.
Afraid, says Taizhou resident Chen Yijun, because what they're doing is illegal. Chinese law forbids the import of e-waste. Yet piles of foreign electronics litter the countryside and pour into scrap plants daily. Yi Jun is a teacher at Taizhou No. 1 High School, where students are concerned about what the e-waste industry is doing to their environment. They've been testing the water in local streams, looking for signs of harmful chemicals. On this day, they draw several gallons from a stream. The banks are littered with piles of electrical cable. Chen Zhenyan has been working on the project for years.
The frogs here are different from frogs in other places because sometimes they have extra limbs. We are sure the pollution is from e-waste because in this area there is no other industry.
Chen and her colleagues say this pollution is harmful to people, too. They tell local government officials such as Liang Xiaoyang that something has to be done to improve the situation. But Liang says there's only so much the government can do to combat an illegal industry that so many residents make their living off of. He says cutting off imports is difficult because sometimes e-waste is hidden in with other scrap. He doesn't deny the waste industry is a big business here.
This industry generates a lot of tax money for us in the form of tariffs. So if this industry doesn't exist, the Taizhou Harbor won't survive.
Jim Puckett is coordinator of the Basel Action Network, a Seattle-based group that confronts toxic trade issues around the world. He says it's not that the Chinese government is unwilling to stop imports. It's simply unable to stop them.
They banned the import. Problem is they can't control that flow. It's just coming at them container load after container load through various ports, and they can't possibly check every single one.
American waste is literally fueling the fires burning electronics that dot the countryside in China. And many of the original owners of this gear had taken it to be recycled and thought they'd done the right thing. But often it ends up on a ship headed for scrapyards overseas. About 7,000 miles away from Taizhou, practically the other side of the globe, there's a warehouse in Springfield, Illinois, stacked with old electronic gear. The Illinois State Department of Central Management Services, or CMS, disposes of old state property, including old copy machines, computers, and monitors. In 2005, CMS was contacted by the Basel Action Network with some disturbing information. The group was finding state of Illinois computers dumped in developing countries around the world. Curtis Howard is manager of CMS state and federal surplus property.
It hit me pretty hard, the fact that not realizing, you know, I always look at it, you know, these guys were here, they come in, they bid on our property, you know, I'm maximizing the return on the state's investment, I'm doing a good job. I never really thought about the tail end of the dragon.
Basel Action Network coordinator Jim Puckett says if the Chinese are unable to stop the imports, then it's up to the United States to control what they export.
Other countries have laws forbidding it, laws controlling it, but in the United States, we don't even have a law to control this export.
The U.S. is one of only a handful of countries that have not signed and ratified the Basel Convention, an international treaty that bans hazardous waste exports. That means if anything's going to be done to stop electronic waste from polluting countries overseas, it's going to be up to the states to take action. It starts with buying electronics from companies that make products that are more easily recycled, and ends with making sure old electronic gear is getting into the hands of responsible recyclers who don't simply ship the e-waste to scrapyards overseas. For the Environment Report, I'm Ted Land.
You can hear this story and others from China in the next few weeks. U of I journalism students have produced a 2-hour documentary entitled China Beyond the Great Wall. It'll air Saturday, July 28th on AM 580, and you can read about their journey as it took place. You can find a link to their blog on our website, will.uiuc.edu.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
The threat of rain continues to linger for the next couple of days across Illinois and Indiana. Our forecast for today from Mike Sola, a mostly cloudy sky with scattered showers and thunderstorms, increasing in coverage as the afternoon wears on, and highs today ranging from 83 in northwest Illinois to around 90 in southern Indiana. For tonight, mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms again, lows from 60 in northwest Illinois to around 70 in southern Indiana. And for tomorrow, a cloudy day again, scattered showers and thunderstorms. In the north, there will be a few lingering showers early, but then it'll become mostly sunny up there. Highs tomorrow ranging from 72 near Lake Michigan to 85 in the far south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, June 27th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.